Sin and Satan. Welcome to Lent. Lent, the season of 40 days, not including the Sundays, for those of you that are going to go home and count, that lead us to Easter. The season of Lent is meant to give us time to reflect, to grow, and to dwell in the life and story of Jesus. And that is just what we will do together. This Lent, we will be bringing the story of Jesus to life, diving into the story of Jesus, looking for new ways to see it in our own lives, and inviting the life of Jesus off of the page and into our hearts. The scriptures for this season have already been chosen, and not by me. You see, I've decided to use the lectionary for Lent. Some of you may be familiar with this idea of the lectionary. It's a list of scriptures that are shared across denominations that are already chosen for each week of the year. And over the course of 3 years, it moves you through a cycle all the way through the entire Bible. We're not required as pastors to use the lectionary, and so I don't. It's never been my thing. Usually I pick my own scriptures. It lets me build a theme for each season, like over Advent with Let Your Heart Be Light. I looked for scriptures that applied to that theme and would build us towards what we celebrated at Christmas. Or in Epiphany, Living from the Heart, I found scriptures that would tie together with that. But then, as we looked at bringing the story to life, the theme of Lent is Jesus. And randomly sitting in front of your Bible picking scriptures about Jesus is not the easiest thing to do. There's a lot to pick from, and what direction do I go? And let's see, okay, Jesus. So I felt it a highly appropriate time to go to the lectionary and use some scriptures selected that people all over the world will be engaging in this Lenten season. So, this morning, we begin with the story of Jesus from Luke. It's in the 4th chapter. And it's the story of Jesus in the desert. Hear these words from the gospel. Jesus returned from the river Jordan after his baptism, full of the Holy Spirit, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's Son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." So the devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "Since you are God's Son, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing each of these temptations, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. You'll never hear me use the word devil so many times in a sermon. Part of the reason I let you know I didn't pick the scripture for this week. It's not one of those ones I flip through my Bible and think, you know what I want to preach about this week? Jesus and the devil. That'll be fun and easy. But here we are. The scriptures were chosen. And here is the story of Jesus in the desert chatting with the devil, facing temptation. This scripture, though it varies from gospel to gospel, does actually begin the lectionary every single year. 1 year in Matthew, 1 year in Mark, and this year in Luke. And the reason it does is our tradition holds that the 40 days of Lent are to mirror the 40 days Jesus was in the desert. So we enter our own metaphorical wilderness for the next 40 days. This story, often called the Temptation of Jesus, is a chance to discuss a very real part of our lives. This morning, we're going to talk about temptation. Now, in discussing temptation, please note that there is a difference between dealing with temptation and living with addiction. And when I speak of temptation today, I'm speaking of our human leanings towards things that we can actively choose to do or not do. If you or anyone in your life has an addiction, there is a different conversation to have. And I'm always available to talk about it with you. Just let me know. Please hear the difference between those two things. That said, what do you say we get into temptation? You know, I have felt for some time that temptation gets a bad rap. It's something we immediately think, oh, temptation is bad. Maybe it's because every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask what? Lead me not into temptation. There's also, of course, that old joke, lead me not into temptation because I can find it for myself. Well, this morning, we're going to find it together. At its core, temptation is really just the presence of options. Can you imagine that in the Lord's Prayer? Lead me not into a place where I can choose between things. We have choices to make in life. And when we are tempted by something, it's really just there's one option, often another one, and sometimes we or society or whatever would say, this is the right one, this is the wrong one, but for some reason we're thinking about this other one. We're drawn to it. That's the temptation. We think there's the right one and we maybe want to go that way. For example, yes, I could get up early and go to the gym, but it's tempting to stay in bed. Or yes, I could get my taxes done before April, but there's a new movie available on Netflix I've really wanted to see. Or sure, I could only have a small brownie, but you really can cut an 8x8 pan into fourths and have it work very well. You see, there's these temptations, the idea of something we might do, and then the other options that show up in life. And I open with a few lighthearted examples about working out and taxes and brownies because, well, it's easier to talk about the lighthearted examples of temptation. But I hope you know that we can get rather serious really quickly with this topic. Temptation is real and challenges all sorts of parts of our lives. And that's sort of the point of this morning. Temptation can get serious very quickly, just like life can get serious very quickly. Significant and serious choices can come out of nowhere with significant and serious temptations about how we confront them. And these things can appear at any time. We're going about life, we're doing our best to live a good life, doing what God wants, and suddenly there it is. A choice we weren't really thinking about, a choice we weren't ready to make. And then the temptation comes. That's why I think we have this story of Jesus dealing with temptations to begin the time of Lent. It offers us an invitation and a reminder to deal with temptation intentionally. You see, it's important to note, Jesus wasn't just hanging out casually when suddenly temptation appeared. It wasn't like Jesus was on vacation in the desert, enjoying the lovely view of the sand, when suddenly he was accosted by temptation out of nowhere. It's not like he was just on a weekend getaway when suddenly the devil pops out to play a game of, let's tempt the Savior. That's not what was going on here. In fact, this is a good time to address the historical and literary role of the devil in our scriptures. The personification of evil as a very being that exists and interacts with our world is rather problematic. Most modern understandings of Satan or the devil have more to do with Dante's Inferno and the drawings we saw in Warner Brothers cartoons than they do with the Bible and theology. Seriously, they've done studies and talked to people about what they see the devil to be or what Satan looks like. And man, Warner Brothers and Dante's Inferno. So between AP English and Saturday morning cartoons, we're all sorts of messed up. I tell you, the historic Jewish understandings of Satan didn't have a personified evil one that showed up with horns. What they did have was a role, much like a job someone would play, of the Satan. It's a very specific Hebrew word that speaks of the Satan. This was someone who would push the hard questions and make people consider themselves and their lives much like they were being cross-examined by an attorney in a courtroom. Okay, you say that's what you believe, but really, what did you do this time? And wasn't that a choice? Couldn't you have done that as well? In fact, these historical Jewish understandings that Jesus would have grown up with and known. In fact, our contemporary phrase of playing the devil's advocate is probably a good representation of that role. Someone who puts the other choices out there for your consideration. You're talking about it like this isn't an option. It is. Come on, had you thought of it this way? This was the role in Jewish society that the Satan would play, to challenge people's ideas of how they would live their lives. The idea being that if you didn't really consider all the options, you weren't really making a meaningful choice. You know what? It's easy not to eat big brownies when I have none in the house and all that's sitting on the counter is bananas. Now, that actually can be a good call in life. But to really make that banana choice worthwhile, I have to decide, you know what? I know there are other things and I'm choosing to eat the banana. Not that I had that choice this morning. So, the word devil doesn't appear in the Old Testament. Only this word, Satan. The word devil, or diablos, as it appears in the Greek, is a New Testament thing. Folks, I got to bust out my Greek this week, and it was very exciting. This word in the New Testament, diablos, carries with it much of the same meaning as the Old Testament. That idea of the Satan carries forward. What this word diablos means is an adjective, meaning a slandering accuser. The idea that someone would speak falsely of people and the possibilities of life. And that's what we have appearing in our story. False accusations of the possibilities that Jesus could choose from. The scripture in Luke this morning is less a story about evil personified and more about temptation personified. There are no red tail and horns here, folks. Just the story that lays out that Jesus had options. And that his choices to live the life he did were intentional. See, that's the best way to describe what happens in this story. It's a story of intention. Jesus went to the desert intentionally. He was looking for a place and a time to be clear of all the distractions so he could really consider and reflect on who and what he was. Just like we use Lent to get to know Jesus, Jesus was using this time to get to know Jesus. He was about to begin his busiest 3 years, years that would define not only him, but would redefine life. So he intentionally steps away to think about who he is and what he wants to be. I joked at the Ash Wednesday service that this is what my wife is always encouraging me to do when she says, "Hey, Brad, think, then speak." Or, "Think, then email." You can apply this to so many different things in life. When it comes down to it, we're invited by this scripture to think and then live. That's what Jesus is offering us here. Because we too must find intentional times when we can confront the questions of our identity and our values. Because the temptations will appear unintentionally. And when they do, when they pop up and we're not ready for them, I hope it's not the first time that we've ever considered who we are. I hope when we're faced with temptation in life, it's not the very first time we've thought about what our values are and how we choose to respond to life. You know, if you look at the temptations Jesus is faced with, it starts out talking about bread and kingdoms and angels, but at the core, all of the things that Jesus is confronted with are about using his power for his own gain. And you know what? Jesus will be confronted with that over and over again in his future life. In the midst of our stories, we'll see throughout this time, people will surround Jesus, ready to set a crown on his head and make them king. Well, that's tempting. There will be moments where Jesus could easily justify himself while he's being doubted with a flashy show of power. Well, that's tempting. You know, he could make life about him and not about the one who sent him. Ooh, that's tempting too. You know, he's going to suffer greatly and criminals will mock him, saying, "Can't you get out of this?" Oh, that's tempting. But when these moments present themselves, it won't be the first time Jesus has considered his options. What the story brings to life for us is a prayer that sounds something like this. "God, lead me into temptation when I can think about it productively, instead of letting me stumble upon it unprepared." This time of preparing for Easter, this Lenten season, can be that kind of a time for us. A time to confront and face not some sort of red-horned fictional character, but to confront and face the questions of our Christian identity. Who are we as children of God? How are we following Jesus in our lives? Are the stories we hear about Jesus worth living into? And can we find life in the life of Jesus? You see, questions like this need to be answered intentionally. We need to step into a time of saying, let's figure these things out so when other things come up in life, we know who we are and how we will respond. Questions like this prepare us for all sorts of temptations that we will stumble into as people. Temptations that challenge our character, that flaunt our fidelity, that insinuate something about our identity. And if we have taken time like Jesus did, we will be prepared to live the life we were meant to and make the choices that bring Jesus' story to life in our lives. So that's the prayer. God, lead us into temptation when we can think about it productively instead of letting us stumble into it unprepared. Amen.